This is a voice recording with Dr. Chetna Kripalu. A question is being asked here regarding personal power and taking back one's power. So she's going to elaborate on that right now.
What is power? Power means we have the ability or we have the capacity to do what we want. That is my definition of power. So, and what am I saying by taking back the power? It means that for most of the time in our lives, when things happen around us, circumstances are created, situations are created, we become victims of our circumstances and situations, and people who have hurt us, people who have been responsible for our emotions, things like that. And what happens is when I say we become a victim, I mean that we give away our power to those people or circumstances and become become powerless. At least that's how we feel, because we feel that that person's responsible for the way I am right now, and that situation is responsible for the way I feel right now. That may all be true, and in fact, I would say 90% of the time it is true, because that is the reality. Then that is why we feel a certain way. They've wronged us. And they shouldn't have behaved like that. They made the bad choices or the wrong choices. And that's why we feel like this. But the bottom line in this is, even if that's true, we are not feeling good. It makes us feel awful. It makes us feel, fearful, doubtful, not being able to trust people anymore, stressed out, however you want, all the negative emotions you can think of. So that is not helping us, and that is not our true nature. So how do we interpret that? The most important thing we need to know is whatever the reality outside of us, we always have the power to observe where our thoughts are going, which is in turn creating these emotions. So even if somebody's wronged us, if it's not really helping us and is actually hurting us, we are in charge of our thoughts and emotions, and we can really control them and change them and replace them. Again, it's not going to happen in a day, but if we do that repeatedly and we are aware of where our thoughts are going, because what happens, another thing which happens in our lives are when these situations happen in the past, we bring them into the present and we kind of run it like a CD in a replay mode again and again and again. And what it does is it becomes like a habit for us to, you know, blame others and, you know, become a victim. And this in turn creates this negative loop which affects the whole biological system in our body. And these, every thought creates energy, and these energies create a certain behavior, because you make these choices because of these thoughts. And now the behavior leads to certain experiences, because if your behavior is one of anger, frustration, it's going to create an experience of not feeling so good in our body, with the heart rate going up, the blood pressure going up, and that in turn causes emotions, which is, again, of not, you know, just not feeling good. And these emotions, you know, the way the whole biological system works, go back to the thought process again. So let me give you an example. What I mean by that is, let's say you have, you know, this loop is going on, and you have this the body has become used to this emotion of feeling not so good every time you think of a thought. The way it works in the long term is the body receptors change to create a new equilibrium in your body. So when these emotions happen, the body is looking to be in the same state. So what it does is it creates, it looks at the brain, which is a record of the past, and it brings on more thoughts to keep that emotion going. And you don't like it, but that's the familiarity you've you've known, and you become familiar with these emotions and these thoughts. Mm-hmm. So you stay in it. So what can we do about it? So the idea is to first, like I was telling you, is to be aware of these thoughts when they come in and change them into what you want. Now, it's not so easy to change it, when you're upset or when your mind is not, calm or anything like that. That is where meditation becomes a big possibility, a gateway. So when you meditate, you go into that space where you go into the neutrality, where you're not associated with this personality who has these emotions, who has these thoughts and everything. So when you go into that neutrality is the possibility of creating a new future. Mm-hmm. So then you have to get to that state, of course, during meditation. So what happens when you sit and all these thoughts come charging at you? You sit with it and till the thoughts dissipate, even though it's the most uncomfortable thing. Because most of the time, from what I've heard from patients, from people and everything, they say, I couldn't sit any longer. It was so frustrating that I had to get up and go. And you know why this happens is because the body has become your mind over time. Mm-hmm. And it is that subconscious which you keep playing again and again. So the body doesn't like to be in a different state. It's reminding you that these are the thoughts which created these emotions. Go back to it. So what you are trying to transcend that and say that, no, I'm going to sit. And you're going to literally, like you say to your pet, say to your body, stay, sit, be patient. And every time you do it in your meditation and overcome it, and then there is calmness which comes after. But you have to be patient enough to get to that state where you experience that calmness. So every time you do that, you're sending a different message to your body. And that is the only way you can actually change the whole loop or break the loop and recharge or invent a new loop. So it can give you a new reality in general.
So Dr. Chetna, thank you for that very elaborate and very nice exposition. I particularly liked the loop description. My follow-up question here is that, yes, I think anyone listening to this, including me, would agree to what you're saying, that this sounds correct. The reality of what happens many times in meditation is that, we want to be calm. We want to go into that steady space. But in many occasions, thoughts seem to just take over. You would try to change them, divert them using various techniques. So when that happens, which is a common experience for most people, particularly in the initial stages, when thoughts seem to just take over and there's a lot of frustration, you can't, seem to get away from that. What do you think needs to be done? Or what's your recommendation when something like that occurs?
So the first thing, which is very easy to do, and it's probably the best thing which calms you down, is breath. So what we can do is, when that happens, is literally take a deep inhale. And what I like to do is use your heart as your heart's innate intelligence to equilibrate or create a different kind of a homeostasis to the rest of the body. Mm-hmm. Now, we know that it's harder for us to use the mind to control or to reestablish the state of equilibrium or alignment or coherence, whatever you can call it, with the other parts of the body. But it's easy to do with breath because we all know how to breathe. So all you have to do is take a deep breath, inhale really long and deep inhale, and you can use it to inhale through your heart space. And then think of the heart expanding while you're doing it when you inhale, and then exhale through the heart into the environment. Mm-hmm. Do this a few times. What happens with this, and they've done research on this in this, actually it's a website called Heart and Math Institute. Right. And what they have said, that the heart rate variability is the one which is the most important. So we are using the heart intelligence or the innate, intelligence of the heart to expand your heart and increase the vibration of the heart, which is 5,000 times more than the brain. And that, along the way, will help. Firstly, the immediate immediate effect of that is calmness. And you will already start feeling good immediately. So that's what we want in a situation like that when you're meditating and it's going all over the place. The second thing is, as your heart expands and you go on, you know, in a few weeks, I mean, let's start with a few days, with a few weeks, few months, you actually start seeing that your mind can come in alignment too. Now, breath is also a source for calming your mind, but we are trying to use it the opposite way here so that it actually brings everything in alignment. Mm-hmm. And it is, you know, they've done research to show how easy it is to do. It's a very simple technique, which is called heart focus, and that's what we're talking about here. So you inhale, and then you just feel like inhaling. You can add on certain things, emotions with it if you want to. For example, when you inhale, you say, I'm inhaling unconditional love, affection, compassion, and it makes it bigger because everybody has been through this love and some kind of memory which, you know, brings on this whole feeling of fuzzy feeling of love and affection and compassion. So you can always bring that feeling in and then and breathe out the same thing into the environment. So that's the first step. So the heart focus can be, you know, the first step, and it really helps. So it really helps you calm down immediately. Mm-hmm. And so you can continue the calmness for a period of time in your meditation. Mm-hmm. And that is fantastic. Now, the next step, what you can do is when you're doing the heart focus, you can think of a memory, and it is whether it's the birth of a child or whether it's, you know, a time when somebody got married or had a great experience for which you're so grateful for and so appreciative about. Because why that's important, when you add on to it in this breathing thing, when you're inhaling and exhaling, it is more sustaining because those vibrations have recorded with the heart and the functional MRIs that it lasts much longer through the day. Because, you know, when you're grateful, it really has this vibration which elevates you so much that it is long, much more sustaining during the day. Mm-hmm. So that is the biggest thing. I think it's easy to do because we all know how to breathe, and it shifts your focus from your head, from your mind also. Mm-hmm. And you're doing it through the heart, and you always feel good when you, you know, do these things. Mm-hmm. And there is proof, and you, I mean, sure, proof is one thing, but you have your own proof,
yeah,
evidence to say, oh, I'd calm down at this moment. So mm-hmm. then you can go on to whatever, technique of meditation you do. And this itself could be a technique of meditation.
Yes, so what you just described is the heart map technique. Heart map technique, right?
It's MATH.
Heart math technique. Mm-hmm. Okay, right. So this is a great technique to use when a person feels overwhelmed by thinking, mm-hmm. right? So just as a quick follow-up, and then we can stop here. What is the connection between the cognitive flow, you know, particularly when someone is meditating, there's a flow cognitively, mental flow, thoughts are going in different directions, and the feelings that are coming? So if you can perhaps talk about the bridge between the two, mm-hmm. Because they are together.
Yeah.
And how the heart math technique is connected to both of these, you know, this bridge.
Mm-hmm. So typically what happens when you're, let's say you're not doing the breathing and you are, we spoke about the so-called loop. So you get a thought, a negative thought.
That loop is the real problem, mm-hmm. because we can all identify with that.
Absolutely.
We know that that's there. Yeah.
Absolutely. So when you create a negative thought, what happens is, that negative thought, it creates something like whatever choice you make out of that negative thought. And then the choice creates a kind of a behavior, like whatever you do with it, you know, with the thought, action, essentially. Now, when you act on certain things, that gives you that experience. So whatever that experience is, that creates this emotion. And this emotion is usually not good. You just feel distressed. You don't feel good. You have this negative loop. And then this emotion, again, creates these thoughts. So it's that loop we're talking. So what happens when you do this technique is you're interrupting it, because what you're trying to do is that's why it's easy to do, because when you take a deep breath, what it does is two things. It, especially when you use the heart space, it expands the heart, it calms down your blood pressure, it calms down your heart rate, and then it really interrupts the thought pattern. That's number one. So when you do this, you're really using this heart intelligence to interrupt this whole loop. So next thing what happens is now your experience changes. So when this experience changes, the emotion changes. So now the emotion is one of calmness, one of compassion, one of love. Because remember, we are also bringing the previous experience of something loving or fuzzy feeling or anything like that. Yeah. So when these changes and the emotion changes, it will bring on a new thought pattern. So that is how you're connecting or bringing about or alignment from the heart to the brain, which is easier because you saw when you're sitting and meditating, you cannot control your thoughts. You have 60,000 thoughts a day. There is no way you can have hold on your thoughts. I can tell you different techniques to observe your mind and everything, but invariably that only works to like maybe four thoughts, and then you really get involved and then you get distressed because you're completely beside yourself, you're overwhelmed. Right. So this is why this is really important. It works. So I usually tell people to use this technique not only during stressful times. This needs to be a pattern, a consistent technique where you're using it in the morning, throughout the day, every couple of hours, every 3 hours, and it doesn't have to be for long. No. All it does is interrupts your thought pattern. Every time you interrupt your thought pattern, it also brings, the other thing which is beautiful about this is it brings awareness where your thought is. Most of the time, we don't even know where a thought process is.
Very much so.
So that awareness also brings you to make a choice, a new choice, which creates a new behavior, which creates a new experience. And that creates a new emotion, and hopefully the next thought will be a better one. So the more and more and more you do this, your whole loop changes. Then you know that you're in control. Okay. Coming back to the power, now you know you are in charge. No matter what the circumstance is outside of you, you have the power to change your response and be a certain way, become whole. And that's the whole idea.
Exactly. Okay. Thank you very much, Dr. Chetna, for all of that wonderful information.